Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, and welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, and I am going to welcome my co-host here in just a second. I'm welcoming my co-host, Brother Aziz.
Salam. Yes, I am, my brother.
Good evening.
Yeah,
how's everything? Good. Everything is fine.
Good. I was able to go out and get my second COVID shot today, so I'm doing good.
Okay, that went very well.
Yes, it went well. Just a little timely, but that's okay.
Excellent.
It was just standard, you know, get in line and wait until your turn.
Yeah, well, you comfortable that you have any after effect pains or any in your arms or anything?
No. As a matter of fact, the nurse asked me, says, "Did you feel that?" And I said, "No." She says, "Well, we're finished."
Okay.
You're the best ever.
Excellent.
I didn't feel the shot at all, brother, but she was very thorough in explaining to me the possibilities of a side effect with the second one. But then it's a possibility it may not happen. So all types of things, if you break out with a rash or anything, within the next 24 hours, and that goes to a medical facility. And pretty much so after that, it ought to be pretty much, okay. Shouldn't have no problem. So I saw them all ages there. So, that's another thing. Everybody's getting them that can get them,
Well, hopefully everybody will be able who wants to take the shot. And we encourage y'all to take the shot. But everybody who wants to take that shot, inshallah, I think hopefully we'll be able to take it as soon as possible. With that said, we're going to continue our conversation. And really, part one was our Imam Wallace D. Muhammad, where he was part one where he talked about water.
Right.
And the symbols of water. And of course, that was part one, and we intentionally wanted to go with part one and have the and I'm sorry for those who missed out on the Imam's speech, because that speech is very relevant to what our topic is this evening, and that is we're talking about the white insurrectionists. And we say taking the nation's capital, but we can see white insurrectionists is all over this country. And the thing about what's going on, though, between, I guess you can say, Democrats and Republicans, but the whole thing is it's a difference between white folks. And when you start having these indifferences, we as African Americans learn a lot of stuff, because when it comes to Democrats or Republicans or white folks, they have all manipulated and played games with us. And so, that, like I said, from all of this, we're learning. It's not a beautiful picture, but we're learning so much about what's going on, and it was not so much in the past, but what's going on in our country, period, and past and present. and that is white supremacy. And both ways, both Democrats and Republicans, because both of them have always had to had the privileges of being so-called white, and no, and regardless as to how much those privileges that they have, and the miseries and the hardship. It is how it affects others that that aren't white, especially African American, and I'll put a bigger emphasis on that. Really, especially African American. Brother Aziz, as you know, we both are war veterans.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's the information that you learn. And you find it very disheartening, but you always want, you know, I've come on the radio and I've said many, many times that investing in African American communities is one of the best investments that a person could possibly want to make at this present time because of the African Americans are not in business. We're 98% consumers. But that is not something that we put ourselves into being 98% consumers. And I'll start from, I guess, 1948. Because after World War II, that's when the New Deal, who was that, Roosevelt was president under the New Deal? Is that who we're talking about, Brother Aziz?
I think it is. It wasn't Truman.
We're close to one of the two. But one of those presidents started what was called a New Deal. As a matter of fact, Biden is talking about the second New Deal as we speak. But the New Deal is basically what our economy started on at that time because it was after the war. And it is to whatever it is today, all started from the New Deal. Now, that New Deal, of course, you're talking about all the bridges being built, all these highways and byways and shippings and everything that you see that's going on after the war. Like I said, the rebuilding of America was a part of this New Deal. Also a part of the New Deal, they started the Veterans Administration, GI Bill, and Housing Bill. Under the GI Housing Bill, and one of the places that when they first started the GI Housing Bill, you know, where we veterans can go in and buy houses like we can today, but under the GI Housing Bill back when they first started it, this was a part of that New Deal thing, and this is where veterans could go, and especially, they started more or less, they got it all over the country, but more or less the beginning of all of this started right there in New York City. And that's why you see all of those suburban sections of that city started back doing the New Deal time. And I know one of those cities, I can't think of the name of it, but is a very was one of the beginnings of the one of those suburban parts of New York City, and this is where they start building homes for veterans all over these suburbs. And these homes was all over the New Yorkers that was the white folks that was living in New York, or New Yorkers that was living in New York, in these apartments, and so many of them living there, now could branch out to what they know now as the suburban parts of the city. And all of these homes was being built for veterans. And anyone who was coming home from the war, they could simply go over, and they all they had to do was sign their name, and they could move right into their homes. And that's where you saw the beginning of a lot of these suburban communities on the suburban towns of many of the major cities. But we, like I said, you can visualize New York. And but everybody just could go out there, but and get a housing GI Bill. Everybody but black folks. The federal government started that program, and the federal government started what was known as not only could black veterans couldn't get homes under the Veterans Home Veterans GI Bill, but the white folks could. But this is what the federal government made this order. And the federal government said that they started what was called redlining at that time. And redlining, of course, they started dividing off black communities. And, you know, you would see a division in your community. That division could be a railroad track. It might be some water. It might be a bridge. But whatever that division is, where those red lines were actually and mapped out in black communities. Mm-hmm. And the reason for these red lines and the reason for these blackouts on all the maps where you know where black communities were, they did not want large cash flow going into the black communities. That's why they did not want black folks owning the GI new homes, and the homes that they lived in. They wanted to make certain that they are they didn't carry a large value, because they wanted to keep cash, large cash. Now, of course, what's going on, but the federal government is the one who is instituting these rules. So, of course, you start talking about communities, that New Rochelle, I think that might be the name of one of those communities. But you start talking about communities like this. Not only are you talking about the homes where veterans, white folks, could come in and get a home, but a community like that now has splurged as to where not they have banks, they have all the stores, and in other words, these are the communities where cash is continuing to flow, and that's why you have the black communities, that division that separates them, and these white communities that they're building. African Americans was forced to come to these white communities and whatever circumstances they had to deal with in order to deal with their commerce. And so that's the reasons why you have such a large disproportion of African Americans' wealth and white folks' wealth, is because for so many years our community had no way of using their assets to turn into cash, because they made certain that your communities wasn't worth any cash. All of the white communities had equity values. We didn't have such things. Again, the redlining prevented that. And so that's why today you, and remember, this has been going on now for what, 1948 was said as the new deal. What, about 72 years or so? Folks have been enjoying the privileges of wealth, and because of the home ownership, and not, and like I said, the home ownership is bringing on equity. In other words, they was a part of what the new deal called a part of the American dream. But that American dream all for white folks. It was and so again, this business of you seeing no businesses in African American communities, it was all well intent, because again, if the federal government is going to initiate a redlining, and of course the banks and all the other financial institutions are going to see if the federal government is going to do a racist praxis, then certainly we're going to continue. We can continue racist praxis, and as you can see, everybody can continue racist praxis. Why? Because it's the way of the United States. And that's what we're, and brothers, and that has never changed. Again, so when you start talking about Democrats and Republicans, and then you throw that word restitution. Yes, there is restitution. And what is the restitution? To pay for what you took away from African Americans. And we know it's been hundreds of years, but we can certainly account for 72 years of when the New Deal started. The federal government is the reason why we and our communities could not grow, just like all the white community, because again, they made our communities invaluable. So again, brothers and sisters, that hasn't changed. If you can go into any black community in this country, even today, and you will see beautiful everything but commerce. You're not going to see commerce, because it was always intended to keep commerce out of the black communities, because that black communities will become another Wall Street. It will become another Black Wall Street. It will become another Marcus Garvey. They know how we can be professional, how we can be build. It would look at the farming market. We didn't lose the farms in the South because black farmers just decided they want to just give up their land and their wealth. I had an uncle that lived down in Southampton County of Virginia. I was quite wealthy. And you're talking about back during the time of segregation. I remember my uncle could walk into a car dealership and buy a brand new Buick. He used to buy those Rivieres, and he would pay for them cash. So again, that's the type of lifestyle. You can't tell me that they wanted to give up that type of independence because they didn't want to be farmers no more, didn't want to have that type of power anymore. No, the reason that they had to give up farming is because the laws in the South allowed white folks to take black folks' lands by some crazy, they call it eminent domain or whatever they want, but just a white person just could simply take your land. And you take him to court, you didn't have no recourse. Racial discrimination in the South. There, I mean, what can you do when there's no law and order, and white folks can just do it? Like I said, they can just all be white.
I know
Democrats are Republicans. So again, our mics are open. I have my comments, but when I heard about that New Deal and I was reading about that New Deal, and I'm a war veteran. You can see how disappointed one has to be when you know how you sacrifice and what you had to sacrifice when you were in war, and those who brothers who had to die. And now you see the federal government. We was what they call dispensable. And so again. We And we're going to continue to be dispensable until we create our own values. White folk, like I said, they're going to be white, Democrat or Republicans. And the federal government supports them. So again, the mics are open this evening. I am looking forward to, we're going to open our mics. Anybody who have comments or like to join in on this evening's conversation, we certainly are going to welcome your comments. But before then, Brother Aziz, I guess it's your turn to express your concerns.
Well, I was going to say, starting out with the New Deal, that was President Franklin D. Roosevelt. And that project lasted 6 years. It was a public works project. And it put everybody to work, supposedly rich and poor. It started in 1933 and it ended in 1939. And putting everybody back to work and, you know, giving the monies out to the people, as you know, like you say, the Caucasians and that. The New Deal, yes, it put some African Americans to work in projects, doing a lot of construction work and things like that there. But when it came to buying land and that, I happen to know that it was the Korean, after the Korean War, it was the veterans that came back, the black veterans that come back from the Korean War, that was had an opportunity to buy land. The VA had some good home loans back in then at 2% and 3%. But the problem was African Americans, again, having access to it. I had the privilege to meet a Caucasian that worked for the airlines. He was retiring when I started working for the airlines. And he lived out in a place out by Dulles, Virginia. Place called Dulles, Virginia. You know it, Bilal. And he was able to get a VA loan when he got out right after the Korean War to get 250 acres out there by Dulles Airport. And he said it was the government, you know, the VA that helped him do that. And I know that all the veterans that I knew of back then, such as my father and all that, they couldn't get money like that, and most of them wanted money just to get a home, let alone buying some land. They wanted to try to get a home, first of all, have a decent place to stay. So this now the new president that we have, Biden, is addressing the issue that you were talking about and that I'm referring to, and it never had been talked about by any other president. My good friend William Warner brought it up, and that is, that now the United States government, because the president acknowledged it, that they have acknowledged openly now that there's systematic racism in America. So we know, even though the new big deal, the New Deal came out and all of that, even though it was, as you said, Republican or Democrat, it didn't matter, that systematic racism there to keep us from building a viable economy among ourselves and trade. Well, the president of the United States today, Biden, says that we got to address that. Now, he brought it on out in the open. It's just systematic racism. It's been that way for a long time. They know it and that. You can't no longer put it under the covers. It's not just a thing of black and white. The biggest thing, as you said, and that's what our program about, is addressing financial differences in our community as others, i.e. promoting African-American businesses, getting them to network and marketing, to market together. So it's important that we put pressures and try to establish black businesses now, because money is just coming out. Our financial advisor, Mrs. Gina Baker, was telling us, there's all kind of programs coming out, and there are going to be more coming out that's really giving money to help some businesses get started. So this is an opportunity for us, but we want to see where this is going to go, because addressing these type of disparities, systematic racism, that's tearing right to the core of America, how America was built, whose backs it was built off, who provided the finance for all this and that. A lot of people don't know that during the Civil War, the most wealthiest state in the United States was Mississippi. Mississippi, because they didn't have to pay for none of the labor, and cotton was king, and they were untold of wealth down there. So, you know, this is a good time for us, and not a bad time, to move forward with promoting and doing business with one another, however it be big or small, get together and do a number of things, which I'll let you bring that on, brother, but I'll initially what the other part of the program was going to be about some black folks purchasing some land in different places in the country.
Oh, indeed.
But that's my opening statements for right
okay.
now.
And again, before I take up too much time, I mean, I could get on this conversation and have plenty to say, but I want to open our mics up because I want everybody's. It's a good time now to get understandings and communications with everybody because we got our communications, and then doing what we're going to do with those communications once we put them together. That's something else, but let me shut up and just go to the mics. Our mics are open. Subject this evening is the white insurrectionist that took up the nation's capital, but we know that white insurrectionist is going on all the country. So we welcome your comments.
Good evening, brothers.
Good evening. Yeah.
Oh,
good to hear from you.
Those they're trying to smooth that whole thing over with those insurrectionists. But that's for them to deal with. I'm just glad that for the most part we're not a part of it. But at the brothers and sisters, I just got to say God is good.
Yeah.
How many years has Biden run for the presidency, similar to Nixon back in the day? But he was being groomed to be where he is today, because not only, as Brother Bilal was speaking a while ago, we have to also think about the freeways, the highways, the way, you know, the way they designed them, that you would not necessarily have access to the black gas stations and hotels and things of this nature, because there were no exits. And the exit would be so far away, you just can't go. No one's trying to go back and go back to where you're going. So we need to also put that into consideration, because we need to be able to have access to our businesses if we going to be conducting them. So we really need to be in all areas of business, and though we enter late, we have to come in making a statement, because we need fairness and we need it now. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Welcome your comments. Again, our mics are open. Anyone that have any comments, our mics are open. We welcome your comments.
Good evening, everyone. Director
good
Stone.
Evening.
Top of the afternoon to everyone.
Yeah.
Yes. Hi, how are you doing?
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm blessed. We have overcome our snowstorm, so I'm blessed. But thank you for opening the mic and allowing me to share briefly. I had an opportunity to meet and greet personally some of the families that purchased that land down in Atlanta. Actually, it was a town that had been abandoned. A little town called Cowtown, and I'm sorry, I'm a little hoarse, but we laughed and had such a wonderful visit last night, and of course they had some music there, and it was hard to kind of talk over the music, and my voice is just a little faint, okay? But we talked about how we're planning to redefine circulating capital. Okay? We looked at leadership development, social capital development, and economically developing out various properties. One of the vehicles that they have, shall I say, initiative that they have is X number of families or members coming together. These are all entrepreneurs pooling their money together.
All right.
Buying up a large quantity of land and developing it out with tiny houses, hotels, possibly libraries, entertainment centers. One of the young men in the group is an R&B artist. So he's looking to build his studio out on that vacant land. They're not far from this little town called Cowtown. They're on the outskirts of it. But at the pace that they are working and building, once they get their buildings together, their goal is to buy that town. Brother Aziz, when you get a chance, go on YouTube. They were on CNN News and put in the African American families that purchased 96 acres in Atlanta, Georgia.
Sister, we got that circulating all over the city already. As a matter of and it's something that everybody, that's what I'm saying, everybody needs, not because not only that, all the farm, listen, many of the things that we want and we need to be invested in. And the beautiful thing about it, young folks put that program together. Young folks are making become invested together.
Yes.
So we're going to support and continue. And I look forward to those young folks coming on and speaking with us. But we have that circulating all over the city. As a matter of fact, once I heard, saw that video, it inspired me. And like I said, I was ready to talk all night long because that was going to be my next subject. So now, yes, but go right ahead. Just, I ain't mean to cut you off. No, that's circulating all over the place right now.
No problem. I have her number on speed dial. Matter of speaking, I ran out of business cards and of course, they were, Brother Miller had opened his restaurant. He fed all of us. Nothing, we didn't have to pay a dime. Of course, they had plenty to drink too, and some of them were feeling real good, and they were doing karaoke, and because of the pandemic, you know, people have been shut in, so they let their hair down last night, and we had about an hour and a half drive home, so I had to cut my visit short. But I did, Miss Joyce, I put some photos out there so you can take a look at them on on Facebook and what have you. I tagged your daughter Joyce in it too, so I have her to open it up and show it to you. But the young lady that's heading this all up is a realtor. Hello, somebody.
Yes, I'm not a realtor. You have our undivided.
Mm-hmm. And she has begun to pull in and to pull groups together.
Mm-hmm.
And are you sitting down for
yeah,
this?
Come on,
are
Sister
you sitting down?
Girl, okay. Give it my teeth.
All right.
They have a finance group as well to help you get the finances.
Wow.
Come on, sis.
Yes.
I'm a shout. I'm ready.
And I'm about ready to take off, too, because when she was sharing that with me last night, I thought about how awesome God is.
Yes.
And I shouted on the mic.
Honey, I'm trying to tell you.
Beloved, because the word in the book of Psalms, and I won't go into teaching or preaching, but the word says this is our set time.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Well, see, that's what I was saying a while ago, you guys.
Yeah.
Mr. President Biden has been, he was being groomed because the old Biden wouldn't be doing the things he's doing today or going to be happy to do. But he was sensitized for 8 years under that family, you know, the Obama family. So he has been sensitized to a lot of things. And it's no telling how much Michelle been putting his ear, because see, Barack doesn't necessarily know. But it's no telling how much Michelle has been putting into his ear. And just from observation, they know they wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, honey, I'm happy that the day has come. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Go ahead on. We're listening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But that was basically it, beloved.
Wait a minute,
this,
but Sister Stone, tell them about the lady with the reparations. Wasn't she there? She didn't come to that one, but I will share with the brothers. On Monday, February 22nd Monday past, I was videoed by Color of Change for H.R. 40, reparations bill. So I made my speech. They are editing it, and as soon as it is available, I will share it with you guys, because we need, just like what Brother Bilal was talking about when we first started talking about the fact that we were not a part of the GI Bill and some other things. I can tell my own little story, but we need to have, like we were talking about, no access from the highways and the super highways and things. We need to have these things so that when we discuss about these reparations and we can start it'll be ongoing. But what we need to the top of that list, and we'll work on the rest of the list later on. And that's my addition. I'm sorry. I thank you.
Okay. Well, thanks.
No.
Again,
we are in this together. Beloved, we are in this together, and if we pull our resources with the resources that has been made affordable to us and for us, there are a great number of things that we can accomplish. And that's pretty much all that I wanted to share, but thank you for allowing me to share that information. Thank you much.
Director Sones, thanks so much. Now you got so much that you're going to have to continue to share with us, and we'll be sharing together. One thing I would like to say, though, Director Sone, is that we need to, because the value that is being presented to us now, especially like you said, from that family that has made the investment. And then we know that there's Selma, Alabama, that is making investments to buy that entire town. We know that there are other, we know we have farmers out here of African Americans are going into farming. Our farming activities are picked up. We know what these farmers need to be financed. And so, in other words, we're going to have to put our groups together. All of us who have the same concerns, we need to come together, and then we all need to sort of plan as to where we can meet at some of these resorts that are some of these places that are being built, and we can go down and witness as to where we can now consider becoming a financially vested and build these communities. But the ones that are already being actively being built, we need to know who they are, and hopefully we can, especially now that this pandemic look like is easing up, we can now start visiting these places that we know that is underway of growth, and we can go there and visit these places and hopefully become involved financially. Because, like I said, and the country, you must realize it, that the best investment, especially now, but it's always been the African American communities. Anytime you have a community that is spending more than $1.7 trillion, $1.7 trillion a year, and they're 99% or 98% consumers, and this is your communities. We're not talking. This is your identification. Then that's where your power is at. That's where the power needs to be developed. All of our black, like what I've been saying for the last 30 years, don't worry about building trying to build a business uptown or downtown. No, you want to build a business right in that community that black or white folks, including the federal government, has been trying to keep capital out of that community. And you have to ask yourself, why would all these white folks and even our federal government try to keep capital out of the black community? Well, look at Black Wall Street. There is your example. They don't want that to happen again. Look at Marcus Garvey. There is your example. They don't want that type of happening again. And like Brother Aziz was talking about the cotton gin, and how fortunate, they don't want that type. They know we have the abilities to make a lot of monies if we had the opportunities. And so those opportunities is something that is good for us. Only thing, like the sister said on that tape, that the families that did that had that I think sister that made the investment of 91 of them made the investment. That family, that tape, you know, everybody should copy. We are our own success. We are our own financial success. If we become financially vested with each other, we don't need the white banks. We don't need any kind of white. We, again, $1.7 trillion is what we give to white folks every year. Give it back to our communities. And so, again, these communities that you're hearing about, where we're building these brand new communities, brothers and sisters, don't take this for granted. This is our opportunities and your opportunities to grow. And now that we can use our equity, remember, there was a time you couldn't use the equity of your homes or your farms or your lands because they didn't want black folks to have a large flow of cash. But that's gone now. So when you start looking at your house and saying, my goodness, I got $200,000 of equity and the interest rates is at 1% and 2%, it's time to use your equities. And use, where else can you, for instance, let me just say this as a financial planner. If I took $10,000 of equities out of my house right now, and at the interest rate I have to pay on the monies, $10,000, a 30-year fixed loan, I'm paying less than $100 a month for a $10,000 loan. I'm asking you, take yourself and now get 20, get 100 of your buddies to do. Don't have to be 100. Get 50 of your buddies to do the same thing. Get 20 of your buddies to do the same thing. 20 of you can start a Sunoco service station, a franchise. And so again, why drive 5 miles and burn 5 gallons of gas to go to the white man's service station across town when you can have it right there in your own communities? And look at the money. So becoming a vested to grow black communities is the best investment in America. I'm telling you. And this is why white folks don't want you doing it. Because, again, they know this is to be true. You would take too much from them. So, again, our mics are open. I told you I can get carried away on this one. Because, again, I as a financial planner, I know we could be powerful. I know we can be filthy rich. The only thing we need to do is get back, and we need to do these investments in the South. Forget about the North. The South is where the same way Reconstruction had us to leave the South, then the new Reconstruction is having us going back to the South. So, again, our mics are open. We welcome your comments.
Well, this is Brother Aziz again. I wanted to make a point on this movement that we have going on now about building black economics and investing in the community. I want to say that the African-American woman is really a mercy and a blessing to us nowadays, because they've been fearless like warriors, and they're very, very precise and intelligent in what they're doing. This young sister that got the families together, the real estate agent, just like the sisters that Biden knows why he got elected, no doubt about that. You know, we have to really, really thank our sisters for doing this, as well as don't think that our sisters aren't very smart, because our religious book, the Holy Quran, say the only difference between us and the woman is that the man is supposed to be the provider and the maintainer of the woman, because she's the one to bear birth. But when it comes to IQ, you know, it says they can look us eye to eye. They're just as smart as us. You know, there's no difference. Allah didn't say there's no difference between male and female then. So I'm saying that us brothers need to realize that there's a lot of advantage to and a mercy for us to listen to our sister when it comes to moving forward and doing business and moving ahead, especially in the way things are being done today. You know, it's being done in a very, very, very IT way, and you can lose a lot of information just in not understanding the process. And the process that's going on today about us building wealth is something that we that's the first thing we need to continue to spread that information to our young'uns, our community, in specific. I'm glad that, and I want to get more information, and we should get more information to spread about the financial group that will be able to finance people that would like to move down to this area in Georgia and set up something. Bilal, you had mentioned before, like in Selma, it'd be a great place to have a business exported from Africa to this location and then distributed out wherever to the United States, or a place that you can come and buy goods from somewhere else at a great price, wholesale as well as retail. You know, people, sisters moving forward and moving our community forward like that there, you know, we have to give them applaud and also support them. That's most of all, support them. in whatever way it is to bring these programs forward. And to all our listeners, you know, that's listening, I just wanted to put that out there. We need to support the sisters in all these programs, as well as we could learn some things also, as well as we move forward. And that's not taking nothing from anybody, but giving a whole lot of respect and pray that our eyes are open to the value of working together like that. And, you know, not prejudging and or misjudging. But that's primarily what I wanted to say for right now. And the mic is open for all, whoever wants to make a comment.
Well, I know we also need some resorts, brother. We need some hotels, because when we're visiting and we're trying to keep as much of the money in our communities as possible, we're going to need somewhere to lay our heads and somewhere to eat some food. So those are things
right.
that we need to focus on as well.
Right.
You know, when an event happening, like wherever we would have an event, if the whole event was in a tent, you're right,
there you go.
Joyce. We still need to have somewhere to sleep that's good.
Yes, sir.
The hotel should be one of the first things that's being built. Somewhere, a place to stay and to eat.
That's what Bailey said over here in Tulsa. That's what they said in Tulsa. Yeah, you got to have somewhere to lay your head.
Yeah.
You out there, you know, the quote unquote, you out there slaving all day long. When the day is done, you need something in your stomach and you need somewhere to lay your head. I know that much.
Yes. Right. You know, I was going to say the projects like Director Stone has with the containers. I'm telling you, that's an overlook. That's something that people overlook. Well, it won't be after a while, because around the world, some people are doing some marvelous, fantastic architectural designs with those containers.
Can they be stored, brother? Because the time to invest in them probably will be now, because sooner or later, like anything else, is going to be a shortage. So can Sister Stone and Brother Aziz, can you store them? Can they be purchased and stored?
Yeah, but it wouldn't be feasible,
okay.
I would say.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, unless you storing them. You need to treat them to store them, number one, you know, on the outside of them. And the inside would be okay, but you still need to treat them, maybe have them up off the ground where they're not sitting on the ground, for moisture to develop underneath. You know, we have such an abundance of steel. I wouldn't say there's going to be a shortage of them. What I would say is the price of them probably go up after a while.
And that too. That's a fact.
Yes.
Bubba Paul Miller has purchased a enormous warehouse.
The Paul.
And it has a humongous shipping yard, and that's the building that they're going to be using to sand those containers down, treat them, you know, make sure no chemicals, anything is in it. They're going to prefab them in that warehouse. It's located off of Highway 59 and Greens Road. I've been in the warehouse. There was an oil company, and they purchased the warehouse. The banker was there the day that I visited to write the check to pay for it. So that oil company, they had to give them until, I think, March the 1st, which is the first of this month. We were there back in December, and they are supposed to be out by March the 1st. So they have a warehouse for pre-construction for the container houses, the tiny tiny houses, also the veteran houses that they're doing. They will be putting them together, loading the material up on these 18-wheeler rigs and transporting them from one place to the other.
Okay.
Wow.
Ain't that all right?
Yeah.
I can give y'all a hand, Sister Stone.
Yeah,
it's coming, but it does take time.
It takes time.
Yes, ma'am.
Just hold on. I'm sorry.
Yeah, these containers, from looking at different designs that I've looked at, it is really an answer to some affordable housing, as well as really, really some beautiful designs when you go on the inside of them, as well as the outside. So, like I said, there's a number of countries around the world where this is the choice to use once, and these around the world, unlike here, in other places, it's the wealthy people that are building them, not poor people. It's wealthy people that are taking advantage of this concept.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's the concept that's so good of what they're made out of, this material, and once you put them up, it's a great possibility that they'll last a lot longer than brick because of the way they're coated and covered in that.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, brothers and sisters, go right ahead, Brother Aziz, and I'm finished.
No, I was going to say thank you, everyone, for, you know, all that you've contributed to tonight, and we hope to continue this. You know, thank you.
All right, and like I said, this is just another week of doing what we have to do. Next week, we have to just continue network marketing and identifying businesses in the African American community. That's what the New Africa Business Association is all about. And that's what we all are all about. Right now, we're networking with each other, sharing information. And like I said, we need, African Americans need communications channels. And the New Africa Business Association, hopefully, is a small channel. And hopefully, we can continue each small channel until we can bring about a very large channel and a very large voice. Until next Wednesday. Again, this is the New Africa Business Association saying continue to be prosperous, and remember, the best investment in this country is to invest in the African American business, building business directly in the African American communities. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Assalamu alaikum.
Good evening.
Thank you. 3, 1.